Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time for an update from Harina Resources. Harina's got a rare earth project in Madagascar. Here to tell us all the latest, it's Ivan Murphy. Ivan, hello.
Hi, nice to see you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Will I give you a quick background to the project?
Absolutely, yeah. Tell us a little bit about it. We know it's sort of on the coast. It's quite well advanced, well positioned internationally. But tell us a bit more of the details and what stage it's at exactly.
Sure. Well, look, we're based up in the north part of Madagascar. The project's been, you know, moving along to get to this place over quite some time. I was originally involved in the project back in 2010, 2011. And now we are really at, I think, a pretty key turning point. We are getting close to making final submissions to get our mining license. And that obviously is a step change in any mining company's sort of future. So we're no longer exploration. In fact, no more exploration. We have a massive resource, more than we could need. And we have a kind of a mining plan, which doesn't even involve blowing up stuff. You know, this is an ionic clay project, which is, I think, really the fundamental thing that sets it apart from other rare earth stories. You know, it's the ionic clay mineralization in China that has given them this incredible dominance over the market. The, you know, extraction costs are low and the ability to get good remediation is very, very high. So you can have what may not look like the greatest grades, but because of the recoveries and the extraction process being very low cost, you get a very, very useful return. And so I think that's a sort of key element to the project, and that where we are now is, you know, post-exploration, pre-production. So we're in that sort of secondary zone, which is great because we want to be set apart from other projects. Rare earths, you know, back in 2010 when I was involved in this, then, you know, it was a lot of education to explain to people what the importance of these was. Now that's a much easier part of the strategy for us. You know, you have a huge, you know, geopolitical shift towards the need for these minerals. You know, Mr. Trump has been, you know, very vociferous in his requirement to secure supply for rare earths outside of China. And we are a genuinely global solution for the Western world for that type of product. So I think it's a kind of a unique set of elements to this project, which I think is making it sort of set apart from the others. And we're very excited now to be moving to the next step.
So you've mentioned that you've stopped exploring now, Ivan, and obviously you're moving on to the economic studies. You talked about a mining license. What exactly is happening with the economic and feasibility studies on this project?
Yeah, well, that's the next step. So we have a feasibility study all but complete, and we will look to submit that sometime in the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks. So that's in its almost definitive form, running to some 286 pages, if you'd like to read that. And, you know, is a fully all singing, all dancing pre-feasibility study. So we will get that submitted up to the government in the coming weeks. And that's a big part of the process for the granting of our mining license, which is, you know, the key next step for us. So that's in good shape. We've done a lot of work as well with SGS over the last couple of years. Some of that's on our website and in our original prospectus from our RTO, including our various JORCs and our various reports from them, which are also extensive. And they all feed into that same process for the feasibility study and the mining license. So we're pleased with that. And Actually, as part of that process, once you've made your submissions, which we'll do in September for your license, you can start to ask for waivers. You know, there's a very good system in the Madagascan Mining Code, which will allow us to, you know, potentially get waivers to start doing a bit of work even before the license is granted, because, you know, we're keen to get stuck in there and start to move the project along on the ground. And that'll be something we'll also be looking to do. So as part of that, we'll attend some conferences in September in Australia, with where the Madagascan government and their representatives will be in attendance. And you know, part of this fundraising and this next phase for the company, having just done its RTO in March, is to, you know, just start to build out that relationship, to start working more cooperatively with the government and moving forward with them for the license itself.
Do you think there's going to be any sort of major differences in the new feasibility study compared to previous studies that were done on this project? Is it going to look different?
Absolutely. Yes. Complete, I would say almost entirely. So one of the key things that was exciting for me to get involved with this project again was Alan Mulligan, who's our executive technical director, who's been part of this project now in these latter years, and one of the key reasons that I was keen to come back and get involved. Alan has a really deep understanding of ionic clay projects. He worked on the one in Uganda, which is very well known and a little further along than we are. So, you know, he's seen that process of feasibility and then the kind of way to actually mine these. And when I say mining, I mean treating, you know, because this is all surface clay. It's using pods and sections and then treating and heap leaching in situ. So we're not, as I say, blowing stuff up and digging holes and blasting rock. It's a different process. So it's more similar, and maybe people are more familiar with sort of mineral sands projects, you know, like Kenmare Resources have a project, and you know, it's more in that system of treatment. And so yeah, so I would say it's fundamentally different. And that was something maybe in 2010 where we weren't as equipped and we didn't have that kind of understanding or that experience. We have that now, and I think that's a really key part of the value here that we're going to be able to create. So yeah, I would say our study is much, much, much different and much more specific, you know, and with the right funding. And part of this fundraising has to be just has been to bring in some institutions with that longer term desire to fund us later for production. You know, for some of the people joining our register now, this little investment isn't what they're interested. They want us to do well, but what they really want is the opportunity to invest in the bigger piece when we move closer to production.
Now, you mentioned the fundraising. Tell us a little bit about that in terms of the quantum involved in the pricing and
Yeah,
any other
sure.
details.
Yeah. So we're a main board London Stock Exchange as a company. We are not listed on AIM, and so we have slightly different rules, as you know. So we had an existing authority to issue up to 82 million shares, and that's what we're doing at the moment. So we're just completing that actually today and into tomorrow probably. So we're placing out those 80 million shares, or up to 82 million shares, at 1.5p, for a total funds of about 1.2, 1.3 million pounds of new money gross. So that's what we're doing right now. That's gone really well. As I say, the majority of that was placed with two institutions who will be above threshold, so they'll be announced in due course, which is great. And they've been, you know, a key part of why we wanted to do it like that. We're going to use this money to obviously advance forward with the mining license application, the completion of the feasibility, well, completion more submission, because it is effectively completed. Also, though, to start marketing the project in a wider context globally. You know, we do want to start to get connected with potential partners in the US, especially, you know, where they have a very big ambition to get control over rare earth processing and refining, and especially for magnets, which is where our project is very disposed towards heavy rare earths, which is really the ones you want. You know, they're the guys you want. And, you know, you often see rare earth projects pitching themselves with fighter jets and stuff like that. And that's great. I mean, that's a very important part of the rare earth business. But it's really the heavy rare earths are the prize, because they effectively make the magnets, which is of course driving all EV and all of that sort of power that we're needing more of. So, you know, the stated open agenda, particularly in the US, is to secure that for themselves and have that mineral security as well as energy and oil security. So, you know, all that money being spent to develop these plants for processing and to refine rare earths are great, but you're going to have to have stuff to put in them, you know, to refine. So, you know, we have a really good resource here, really scalable resource for any of those projects. So we do want to start to position ourselves around those in these coming months, alongside the work we're doing to put forward and to secure and move forward on our mining license. So we've also changed the board around. So I've joined the company as now as chairman, and a colleague of mine, Paul Richards, who'd been also involved with me in 2010, has joined the board as a non-exec. We've, let go of the RTO board, if that makes sense. So, we RTO'd it to another company, and so they did a great job in helping this project get to the market in March, and now they've moved on, which is normal. So that's gone really well, and we're grateful to them for having got the company up into the market. So, we're maybe a little overdressed for our market cap and our market on the LSE, but we've done that on purpose. We need to be in that space to get around the sort of value we want to get around for this company, and also to get with the sort of partners we want to get with. So we're super excited, and we'll announce the completion and the detail of the placing in the next day or so. But we're very pleased with that.
So you mentioned partners there. What can you tell us about potential off-takers or customers for the product that you
Yeah,
guys?
I think, look, in this space, offtakes are always easy to get, right? I can get an offtake from anyone because anybody will buy my product. That's not really that much value to me personally at the moment, or for us as a company at the moment. What we're really looking for is wider partnerships to help us get to production and beyond, right? So, but off-taking I can get, and no problem. Everybody wants the product, but it's about who you do that with. So I think it has to be more than off-taking to have real value for us, and so we're just taking a pause on simple off-taking agreements while they can be secured, and trying to find much more integrated partnerships to bring the project forward. In this case in Madagascar, what we'll be doing is bringing it down to a refinable product. We won't be refining in Madagascar, so it'll be shipped from there to a refining partner. So I think you need a our strategy is we feel we need a wider arrangement than just an off-taking to create real value for us. Off-taking will be everybody will want off-take. but that's great, but that's another step away.
So
Now, it can be with the same person. It could be with the same company, of course.
why don't you lay out for us now, Ivan, perhaps what investors can expect from the company over the next few months and perhaps into 2026 as well?
I think over the next few months we'll be able to make consistent news flow as we move towards these targets and these steps towards the completion and securing the mining license, including probably appointing a little more on the advisory side. We're working with Denton solicitors and their sovereign practice to come alongside us to manage our process into the mining license, which we think is great. They have a really long-standing relationship in Madagascar, Denton's, and we have a local partner firm now in Madagascar as well to help with that. So we look forward to making those formal announcements around those appointments, but they're well in train. Also, I think these waivers, which we may apply for en route to the mining license, will be nice things to be able to announce. And again, we do want to start working on some partnerships, potential partnerships for this. We have a really good feasibility study with some really good pricing to get into production once we have the mining license. And so, I think we can make a lot of progress with our existing financing and with the money that we've just raised. Right up to and including securing the mining license, and then from there it's a different, it's we're into a different value proposition from there. So, yeah, no, we're excited to be able to have some good news flow. We're working with Mark, obviously, as and just making sure we're communicating regularly with the market. We'll be at all the usual places in terms of where mining people are gathering as well in the coming months, but specifically in Australia, in partnership with the Madagascan government and Ministry of Mines, we'll be attending down there, and that's a very key thing for us to be working together with them on that, and to be putting this project right at the center of the rare earth conversation.
So we'll be seeing you at Resourcing tomorrow in December in London, then perhaps.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Very much so.
Excellent. So finally, perhaps to close out, a couple of words about the wider rare earths market that you're proposing to sell into. You have mentioned it sort of in passing a couple of times, but how does it look to you, sort of as a general space?
Well, I just think, this is not gold, this is not diamonds, this is real industrial use, and that is all it's good for. Nobody's making jewelry out of rare earths. So, it's a very specific niche part of the market that's in probably in its most bifracted situation ever. The Chinese just don't want to ship it out. The Chinese don't want to pursue other projects because why would they? They have a huge control over it themselves. And the US are driven crazy from having to deal with that, and as are other countries, right? So that's just a fact of where we are. So that starts to turn the spotlight to where can we get good products? Where can you get a decent scalable resource that we could then refine and use? And if you want security around this, you're going to need to have good supply. So, I think that that's very exciting for the market, particularly in the heavier rare earths, which is the predominance of the makeup of our mineralization. So look, I think we're in a very different space to where we were 2010, in a much faster market for rare earths. I mean, if you've seen the performance of share prices like MP Materials in the US, they've had a $500 million investment from the Department of Defense, for shares into their company. I mean, that's pretty unusual, right? So in addition to that, the US Exim Bank has given a $100 million loan to a project in Greenland, which isn't very much more advanced than our own. So there's a lot of money wanting to get into projects, and I think we just have to put ourselves into that mix as a project that can really take that kind of investment and be a solution of that type for these kind of buyers. And I mean, I'm using the US because it's such a topical example, but there's the French feel the same. It's there's other political countries or other countries who are politically now very focused on this issue, which is great timing for us. So we're very excited and looking forward to working with some of those.
Well, we look forward to watching you guys make lots of progress in the coming months. It's been interesting to
Yeah,
watch so
we're
far,
excited.
and you've been moving pretty quickly anyway, so that's a good precedent to set.
Yeah, no, we're excited now. We're definitely in the right space.
All right. Well, it's been really good to talk to you today, Ivan, and hopefully it's the
Yeah,
first
likewise.
conversations. And
Yeah, look forward to it.
catch up at the next big news event, if not before.
Yeah, with pleasure. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.